So, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you so much, Lord, for all that you have meant to us and all that the Lord Jesus has done for us and all that he sacrificed to give us, Lord. And, Lord, we know that your abundant life has already been given to us and that we're entering into those things, Lord, by faith. And we ask, Lord, that you reveal and open our understanding to know and apprehend those things that you have provided for us. And we thank you, Lord. Thank you so much for showing us the things that are coming to encourage us and to help us to know how to be in agreement with your plan. We thank you for the warnings that you have given us, Lord, that teach us spiritual warfare, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for reaching out and drawing us to yourself and providing for us in the days ahead. And we pray these things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, all right, folks. Another blessed night we are with everybody. Praise be to God. It's been a wonderful day here. We've had great weather. I love this time of the year and in the springtime, too. The temperature gets up around 75, and it's not humid so much. And it's been really nice around here. Well, I just praise God for all of you. And tonight we're going to have a blessed evening. Now, let's see if anybody needs prayer. Anybody need prayer or would like to pray for somebody?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
First, I want to pray for God increasing our faith and teaching us how to use it. And then the other thing I want to pray for, the other night on the weekend, my wife started feeling miserable and couldn't comfort herself. I couldn't comfort her. And eventually we tested her blood sugar and it was 450.
440.
and that's kind of really high for somebody, especially for somebody that doesn't supposed to have diabetes. And we tested her a few times other than that, and it was still high, not quite that high. So tomorrow we're going to the doctor just to see what's going on. I would like to pray that that she would not have diabetes, and I would be over my diabetes. That God would show me how to see myself in the mirror better. You know, see not myself, Jesus. See Jesus in the mirror better. I'm not sure how to do it. I believe that Jesus is in the mirror with me, you know, but I see me. I wash my hair, do whatever I do. I see me doing it, but I understand by faith that I'm supposed to see Jesus in the mirror, and I look for him. I'm not sure how to see him. I don't know what he looks like. I've seen visions when I close my eyes. I've seen visions of Jesus, but are a lot of things I see when I close my eyes. I always see something. I just want to pray for my wife and I that our faith would grow and that we would know how to use it, and that I could see both my wife and I could see Jesus in the mirror. I don't know what I'm doing wrong.
Amen.
But
first thing you need to do is turn that mirror the other way. Turn the mirror part around on the wall. Look in the mirror now, and there you'll see Jesus. You do it by spirit. You have the. And we look in the mirror and we see, oh, looky there, there's Jesus. I know it because Jesus told me so. I'm believing it by faith that the Lord has got Jesus in me and Jesus is coming out. The flesh is dying. And every day, Jesus is more and more coming out in me. And I thank you, Lord, that I'm walking toward that manifesting, that Son of God that you want me to manifest, Lord. And that's what you do. You keep on agreeing with what the Word says. And don't worry about what is in the natural. That doesn't make a bit of difference in the world. It's what's in the spirit realm, what's in the Word of God that matters. We look in that mirror and we see Jesus. Wade's done dead. Wade's done died out. He done gone.
Amen.
But Jesus is coming alive. You understand? That's
Amen.
What we do. We just look in there and we see Jesus. Praise God.
I know more Jesus. That's what we all need. And,
Amen.
And I look forward to more of Jesus. That's why I brought it up. Otherwise, I'd be too embarrassed to speak about it, except I desire more of Jesus.
Oh, me too. I think everybody in here wants more of Jesus. They want that deeper Christian walk. They want to be walking just like Jesus. All of us do. And that's nothing to be ashamed of. We're all falling short, but we're all striving for the same thing, Wade. So absolutely, brother. If you need it, we'll pray, and God will give it to you. Father, we just thank you right now that you're giving Wade bold faith to believe what your word says. He doesn't have to see it in the natural. All he has to know is to believe what the word of God says. And Father, we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that he is healed, that Jeanette is healed of diabetes. They don't have to worry about what the natural looks like. All they believe is what the word of God says. And what it says in 1 Peter 2:24, it says, by his stripes you were healed. That was 2,000 years ago. That's past tense. You've already been healed. And we praise you, Father, that they are healed. When they go to the doctor tomorrow, that doctor's going to say, ain't nothing wrong with y'all. What y'all doing up in here? And they're going to say, well, we just come to show you that Jesus has been glorified in our bodies and we're healed, praise God. And it don't make no difference what that doctor says, neither. It's what the word of God says, right? That's what we go by. We don't go by what the natural is. We go by what the word of God says. And Lord, we thank you that tonight Jeanette's going to sleep a wonderful, comfortable sleep tonight, Lord. Both of them are. And you're going to show them, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that you're in charge here. Not nobody else, just you, Lord. You're in charge. And we praise you, Father, for that. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. What do you think, Wade?
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen, brother. Praise God. We'll still keep you on our prayer lips, okay?
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thanks. You bet, brother. All right. Anybody else?
Mute me back again.
What's that?
Mute me again.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Sorry. Praise God. All right. Anybody else need prayer?
Yeah, Michael?
Yes, sir.
Stan.
Go ahead, Stan.
Yeah, I think we're under an attack of some sort. Last week, Claudia's tooth chipped, and one of my teeth has started hurting the last couple of days. So could use some prayer.
Okay. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you that we can come to you. We don't have to go to no dentist, no doctor. No psychiatrist or nothing, Lord. All we have to depend on is you. And we thank you for the authority that you've given us. And in the name of Jesus right now, we command the pain to stop in Stan's tooth in Jesus' name. And we command the chipped tooth to be healed in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, that he is healed, delivered of that pain and that discomfort in his teeth. And we thank you for it, Lord. Thank you, Father. Praise you, Lord, for what you're doing in Stan's jaw right now. In Jesus' name. Pain, you go right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Praise you, Lord. Amen, Stan?
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Yeah, praise God. Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody else? Thank you, Father. Anybody else need prayer? I would like to pray for someone.
Hello.
Hey, Andrew.
I just like a prayer for my daughter that she would receive salvation. And I know you guys pray for the brethren and their loved ones. She's had a problem there in the past, and I don't really want to mention what I might think it is, but... repentative of it, and that's a good place to be in, and to actually start going to a church. I try to counsel them myself, but I don't see them too often, and they're not receptive to me. I had a little like Sunday study with them when they were young, and hopefully some of that rubbed off on them. Anyways, I believe it's God's will. That's I just read a scripture not too recently that that if you pray for something that's His will or desire, that He would answer that prayer. And it's God's will for everyone to be saved. And I just pray, Father, that You would help Megan and also my son, Benjamin, that they would see You and receive You in within them as part of Your new life in Christ Jesus, and that You would change their hearts and minds so that they would know You better and come into agreement with You and walk with You. And that they would be on fire for Christ, I guess, and receive the blessings of the Christ Spirit and the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. One of the scriptures that I always use when I'm praying is Mark 11:24. All things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Amen. Amen. And here, and the one following it says, and whensoever you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against anyone. In other words, if you don't have any unforgiveness in your heart, your prayer is not going to be answered unless you do, unless you get rid of that unforgiveness. So got to be sure we're right with the Lord, that your Father also who is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. So those two right there is necessary to getting your prayers answered. But once you got that that heart right with the Lord, man, your prayers will be answered like that. So we believe with you that Benjamin and Megan, that the Lord is granting repentance to them right now, and He's drawing them onto His bosom right now, even as we speak. And Father, we thank You that it doesn't make any difference what it looks like in the natural, Lord. We're believing that You're doing a work in both of them in Jesus' name. Thank You, Lord. We just believe. We're going to endure in our faith to see it manifested, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank You, Lord. And we're going to call those things that are not as though they were. Amen. Thank You, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Thank You, Lord. All right. Anybody else? What about testimonies? Would like to share something.
Hey, Michael, I got a testimony.
Sure.
Garrett came on Thursday and shared about Jimmy dealing with, what is it in your lungs, pneumonia, and not breathing on himself, you know, is on his own, and that they really can't do anything until he's breathing on his own. And he called Saturday during the pot blessing and said that Jimmy's breathing on his own.
Praise
the Lord. The Lord answered another prayer, and we're just fighting this in the spiritual battle. And he was all excited, and so it's just so Father, we just thank You. You are awesome. We thank You for what You're doing in Jimmy right now, and I thank You for what You're doing in Jimmy's fiance and his sister. And Lord, we just ask that You just use this to build their faith, just to, you know, just to get their eyes on You and not get their eyes on what the doctors are telling them and the bad report and the worry and fear and doubt and unbelief. We just rebuke those spirits right now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we just thank You for just working in them and working in Garrett's dad and just building their faith. And Lord, we just thank You for this miracle that You're going to do in Jimmy. And we just thank You for the testimony. Amen.
Thank You, Lord. By the way, y'all, we pulled that testimony of Garrett's out and put it in the testimony section for Jimmy. And hopefully, as soon as we can, we're going to get a part two, right, Tim? As soon as Jimmy gets where he can talk.
Amen.
Amen. Well, all right. Good deal. Thank You, Lord, for Jimmy's complete recovery and his testimony, too. All right, anybody else got anything they'd like to share, a testimony, praise report, just what the Lord's showing you, whatever? Hey, Marlon. Boy, you're sounding like a banjo, Marlon. Can't understand a word you're saying, brother. Sorry. Can't understand. I'm sorry. I don't know what the deal is with that connection, but it's kind of funky. Funkified. You'll go off and come back on. Anybody else?
Hey, Michael, I'll just share. The other night at our fellowship, somebody shared that they saw on, I don't know where it was, but it was on one of the alternate news channels, that they saw a seismologist, an Indian seismologist, that was predicting just a massive earthquake, in the United States. And he was giving all his evidence and that, and he was saying, you know, he's been about 90% right on his predictions, but just, I guess he was talking about Chile, the quakes they're having there, and the quakes they're having in California, and they're all on the increase in that. And he's talking about the north and south plates colliding and stuff like this. And I haven't seen it, but he was just sharing this, and he said, this is going to be, when this earthquake hits, it's going to be catastrophic, and there's going to be, he was talking about tsunamis in the Gulf of Mexico and in the Pacific and a lot of different things. And, the gentleman that shared it said he looked real sincere. So we don't know, but and I don't know who this guy is. So he had shared that Saturday night, and I think it was Sunday morning. It was on my heart. And I asked the Lord, I said, and I don't know what he said. I think he said the next 6 months is what he was predicting. Just a major earthquake. And so I asked the Lord, I says, Lord, if this is true, I would just like a word of confirmation about this. Give me a word about an earthquake, or give me a word about a shaking, or, something referring to, an earthquake. And by faith, just blindly, I opened up the word, and my finger went right on the words tossed to and fro. And so I thought that was pretty strong as far as that. So that's something that the Lord was showing me, that, we may have a major earthquake in the next 6 months. So, that was my confirmation. So I just throw that out to you guys. Amen.
Well, what Michael was talking about last night, was that it was sometime in October that he figured the New Madrid could go off sometime in October. I believe is what he said last night, what Michael said he said. So I don't know. Yeah. But from the dreams we got, there's going to be an East Coast earthquake. Sandy had those four dreams, the same dream, every time she had four of them. The very same thing of the New York quake, and then that triggering the New Madrid, and then the New Madrid triggering the Tennessee quake, and also the San Andreas quake. Absolutely, if there is a large earthquake on the New Madrid, you're talking about Memphis all the way up to Chicago, including St. Louis, and all the outlying towns around them, So that's a lot of folks.
Michael?
Yeah, Gail?
Yeah, there was an earthquake in New York, northeast, I think. I think it was around a 3, and I think it was under a reservoir or something, under a lake or something. That was about 10 days ago. I remember that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, all right. Well, whatever it's going to be, it's going to be. We're all ready, aren't we? We're all ready I pray we are anyway. I pray that the Lord would get us ready if we're not ready. That's my prayer, always been my prayer. Lord, get me ready. Get me ready for the things that are fixing to happen, because it's going to be devastating. It's going to be destructive. But in the same vein, it's going to be, I believe that's what's going to start the revival. One of the things that's going to start this revival. Now, I could be completely wrong, but, you know, in Word talks about the anointing and then earthquakes and then the man-child taking the bride into the wilderness after, you know, during all of that. So, we'll see. All right, anybody else? Got something they'd like to share?
Oh, Michael?
Yes, go ahead.
Hi, I just wanted to say that I had another dream about tsunami.
Oh, well, let's hear it.
Yeah, it was like a few days ago. So I don't know where it's going to happen, but it was pretty horrible, like in a dream. And then afterwards, I opened to the Bible and was saying something. Like, it was Zephaniah chapter 2, like verse 5. Woe unto the inhabitants of the sea coast, and, you know, I will even destroy thee, that there shall be no inhabitants, and the sea coast shall be dwellings and cottages for shepherds and folks for flocks, and the coast shall be for the remnant of the house of Judah. So.
Okay, where was the tsunami at in your dream?
I don't know where it was, at the sea coast. I mean, I don't know which coast.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
All right. Exactly. Yeah, we've had lots and lots of dreams and visions about tsunamis on both coasts and the Gulf.
Yeah. I was just, it was in a dream. I was like standing on top of the cliff and I was just, kind of watching it. I don't know. It was like I was watching it on like a TV, and it was like a picture was shown to me that most houses were destroyed, and there were like the water just totally destroyed them. There were no houses left, and in that dream they were telling like people, you have to move, you have to move, and it was a really bad situation.
Yeah.
And, like, they were warning them and stuff like that. So.
Amen. A lot of destruction.
Yeah.
Amen. Thank you, Mia. All right. Anybody have any dreams that are pertinent to what we're talking about? Pertinent to anything, as far as that goes. Praise God. Any testimonies and praise reports, or just any comments that you'd like to make?
Can you hear me any better now, Michael?
Oh, yeah, much better, Marlon. Thank you.
I don't know what, sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. Anyway, I'd just like to praise the Lord for answering our prayer. We had a young man that comes to our Bible study, and a guy at work was giving him a bad time and kind of always kind of growly and bad mood, and we just prayed for him that God would change his mind, and another place too, we prayed for the same thing, and both of those were answered, so we just praise the Lord for that.
Amen. Thank you. Little prayer works, boy. I'm telling you, it's a powerful tool that God's given us. He's just waiting. Those angels sitting out there waiting for us to pray and for something to do, you know? Is anybody in an attack other than what Stan was talking about? Is anybody under attack we need to pray for? We know we've had warnings of witchcraft and some other things that were coming up against us. And I suspect that they're, you know, through the whole body.
Michael?
Hey. Hey, Gano.
Yeah, the Lord gave me some words the other day, or this was on Sunday, and I was thinking they were just for me, but I shared them with a friend, and she said, well, she didn't think it was probably just for me because she thought it really fit her too, and so I guess I could read them.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Okay. Walk in my footsteps. I will lead you beside still waters, that you may find rest for your journey. There are things coming that will require strength and full attention on me. Only my strength will get you through. Don't look to the ways of man. They are insufficient. They only build up man. My ways bring glory and honor to me. I will do the impossible. I will give strength to the weak and faith to the humble. Seek me only and have no fear. I am your refuge, your high tower. The righteous come to me for protection, for wisdom and discernment. You will see things that you don't understand. My ways are not your ways. I will not lose any who are mine. There will be grace for those who truly believe in me with all their heart and mind and soul. Those who depend on me and not on the ways of man. My grace is sufficient for all who believe in me. There's a battle up ahead, a battle in your mind. Keep your heart and soul stayed on me. There will be a barrage of assaults on your mind. Lies and deception will be their plan, tearing you down, putting doubt and unbelief in your mind. Cast out all confusion. Give no place to doubt and unbelief. It will only get you off my straight and narrow path. Renew your mind that you have the mind of Christ deeply instilled in you. Stand on the rock that you will not be moved or blown to and fro in the storm. I will not leave you or forsake you. My promises are sure. Believe and receive. Anyway, that was the words that I got. And then afterwards I was asking the Lord for some verses, and the first one that I got by random was Matthew 16, verse 7. And this scripture is where Jesus is talking to the disciples, and he's wanting them to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And in verse 7, he just says, "And they reasoned among themselves, saying that we took no bread." You know, they were kind of missing the point of what he was talking about right there. And that's when he told them that he was perceiving that they had very little faith. And the next one I got was James 4:11, and that one is, "Speak not one against another, brethren. Who speaketh against a brother or judges his brother speaketh against the law and judges the law. But if thou judgest the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge." And I thought that one was probably personally for me. I didn't really see that it maybe went through the words that I had gotten, but, you know, I'd been having a really hard time with listening to anything that our president was saying, and I believe I was kind of definitely judging him, and that's not my place to do, and God put him there for a reason, because I guess he's what we need right now, and I guess my heart wasn't receiving that too good. So, but the last one I got, and I didn't write these down until the next day, but I thought it just really amazing. It was Isaiah 55, and I didn't write anything down. And the next day I thought, oh, I'm going to go back and read that. And my Bible was closed, and I put it on the desk and opened it up, and it opened up exactly to that page. And I thought, how awesome is that? And so Isaiah 55 is just a really good chapter. And but my finger was on the verse 2, "Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness." And it that I thought that verse really did kind of go along with what he was telling me, because he kept saying, "Draw near to me, draw near to me." And there was also some more phrases that were in that chapter 55 that I had received in the words, and I thought that was kind of cool. Anyway, that was all I was going to share, but I don't know if that speaks to anyone else, but my friend thought that it spoke to her too, because she said she always has a battle in her mind, and it seems like often for me that is the deal. I just, these voices come speaking things to get you to get out of the rest. And I know when I got this, my spirit was really kind of shaken when I got it. I thought, oh my goodness, you know, about these battles in my mind. And I was really thankful that you had brought up spiritual warfare last week. And so I spent a whole morning one day just going over, you know, the armor of the Lord, God's armor. And I know that after that, I went through that and I made sure I put that armor on. And I can say that each day I've had such a peace all day long. And, you know, he gives that to us so freely. And we need to use it and not forget that, because it is for our good and for our protection. And I thank him for all that he's provided for us. And I think we need to remember to put our armor on every day, because it seems like these days the attacks are just relentless. And it can be physically as well as, you know, our minds. And but if we just put his armor on, that protection is there. And I just thank him for that. And I guess that's all I wanted to share. Thank you. Thank you for all you guys do.
You know, Gaynold, what you were talking about there is a deeper walk with the Lord, essentially mm-hmm. what you were saying. And
right,
that's exactly what the Lord has been speaking to me about is come to me now, come to me.
Yep.
And let me give you that divine life. And that's what he's communicating to me.
And
so that our...
Go ahead. It's such a peace, too. That's the thing.
Absolutely.
It just gives one such a peace in your heart and in your mind, you know. And it's just very helpful. It's just, it's just a true blessing. Just a true blessing.
Yeah. I'll tell you what I want to do. I want to read Ephesians 6 and 11, starting out in 11,
okay,
for everybody. This is the armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our wrestling is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the powers, against the world rulers of this darkness, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Wherefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, withal taking up the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, with all prayer and supplication, praying at all seasons in the Spirit, and watching thereunto in all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And one of the sisters here had a dream, or I believe it was a dream or a vision or something. And the Lord told her, he said, thank me for every piece of that armor. Thank me as you put it on. Thank you, Lord, for giving me this breastplate of righteousness. Thank you, Lord, for shodding my feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Thank you, Lord, for giving me that shield of faith, where I'll be able to quench all of those fiery darts of the evil one. Thank you, Lord, for that helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We thank you, Lord. So that's what the Lord has been showing us. So, Gaynold, you've been right on for what the Lord's been showing all of us here. Walk in that deeper walk with Christ. Put on that armor of God and use it. Thank you, Lord. Amen. All right, anybody else? Yeah, go ahead, Gaynold.
I was just really thankful that you brought that up last week, because I didn't really been going through some I'm troubles because I wasn't putting my armor on.
Hey, hang on. Yeah. You sound like I can't understand a word.
Okay.
It's gone back to that banjo picking thing.
Okay, sorry about that. I'm done.
Okay.
Okay. Bye.
All right. Praise God. Yeah, that's what God's been drawing us to. He's been drawing us to that deeper walk with Him, that daily fellowship with God. We got to have that daily fellowship with God. And that's the, that should be the first and primary.
I was just really thankful that you brought that up last week, because I had really been going through some.
It's hard to understand you, Kamo.
Because I wasn't putting my armor on. You know?
Yeah, we can't hardly understand a word you're saying, Kamo. I'm sorry.
Okay.
It's messing up. I think I heard you say
something. Okay.
Okay. I can't. Sorry, I can't understand you. You sound like somebody picking a banjo. It's all staticky. Not staticky so much as staccato. And it's real. It's hard to understand. But. Amen. Yeah. Go ahead. Anybody else understand them?
Oh, Michael?
Hey.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that right after you were talking about the witchcraft attack, you know, and
yeah.
Like right after the last conference call, I had a super problem with the computer. Basically, it just totally blew up, and, you know, the whole operating system got erased, so it was like in a horrible, horrible condition. So, I mean, it was basically almost unfixable. So I had to ask someone to just come and fix it for me, and they kind of fixed it. And then, you know, the following day, just like after the night, the next morning, I turned on the computer, and it was like you couldn't even turn it on again. So it was basically fixed. And then the next day, it was broken, but it was in much worse condition than the first time. So again, the whole operating system was erased, and it was like in a really, really bad shape. So it was just horrible, horrible. And it took like a long time like to fix it. So just, I'm pretty sure it was related to these attacks. So, yeah.
Okay.
So maybe, like, we could pray for electronics or something like
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you that you are. We've got that armor of God on, and we're quenching the darts from the enemy right now. And we take authority over any kind of witchcraft, curses, spells, voodoos, any kind of thing like that against me and Anna. In the name of Jesus, we cast them all down as null and void. And, Father, you said that... the blood of Jesus covers them and all of their equipment. And, Father, we praise you for that. And we thank you, Lord, that computer is healed in Jesus' name. Just like you healed Darv's truck, you're going to heal that computer. Just like you healed Michael Duncan's computer and others' computer, you're going to heal Anna and Mia's. And we thank you, Father, for that in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. That you're an almighty God, and we can depend upon you, Lord. We can always trust you to follow through with all of our prayers, Lord, because we believe. We're believers, Lord, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for your protection upon everybody in this fellowship in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that we have cast them all down. Your warrior angels are out there doing their job, Lord, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. We come against any kind of curses, spells, or voodoo, or witchcraft on anyone in this fellowship or across the world in all the elect. And we thank you, Lord, that you are thwarting the plans of the enemy. You're turning aside his attacks. And we thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. I believe that. Anybody else? Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. I've got a praise report. Hey, Gano, did you have something you want to say? I saw you come back in.
Well, I don't know. Can you hear me?
Oh, I can hear you good now.
Okay. Well, I guess I was just going to add that, you know, on that first one where it, girding up the loins with the belt of truth, that is such a strong word, gird up, because it means to get ready for action. You know, you're not going to just sit there and wait for it and take what comes, but you're actually the one doing, you know, going forward, going actually pursuing them. You know, get them out of there. And anyway, I just thought that gird was a strong word there. And I guess it living in a farming community, that word has a strong meaning to me, because we put girders around our bins to make them stronger, you know, mm-hmm. so that they're not going to pooch out if they get lots of weight and lots of a grain inside, because sometimes the sides will give out. But we put, they call them girders, you know, they're a support on the outside that strengthens it, and that's what that belt of truth does for us. And that was the only thing that I was going to add. I just thought that was a really key word there. For me, it was. And so I guess that was all that I was going to add.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yep, that's true.
Yeah, well, I just thank the Lord for all that he gives us.
Me too.
He has us prepared. We have to just get it in our spirit. And you were mentioning that someone got that about thanking the Lord for each piece. And honestly, I've just been, you know, seeing in my mind putting these things on. And it's a blessing to do that. And it just brought just really peace to my heart and just to my whole self all day long. It just gives me peace. And I just am really thankful for that. Don't have to be in the unrest, can be in the rest.
Amen.
Okay, that's all. That's
okay,
all.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Lord. You know, I have a praise report that we had from last night. One of the guys came up to the hill the day before yesterday. Thursday. Came up on the hill. No, what is today? Today, Tuesday, is how it would have been Saturday.
Hey, Michael.
Friday, yeah.
You're kind of breaking up. Are you on your wireless?
Is it okay now?
Yeah, it sounds good now.
Okay, well, I have to turn around and face y'all then. That's what the deal is. Anyway, one of the guys in the fellowship came up here, and he's having trouble with his truck in the transmission the other day. And he came up here, and he said the guy, he took it to a mechanic, and they told him, yep, that's what's wrong. They said it's going to cost you $1,500 to fix it. And he said, I can't do that. The truck ain't worth that. So he cobbled it back, you know, and come on back. And he come up on the hill, and he's telling us about it. And of course, we said, well, let's just pray for it and see what God, you know, let God fix it. He'll fix it for free. So we laid hands on that truck, and he got it back home. It was jumping out of second and third gear. It was a manual transmission truck, a little four-cylinder. And anyway, he got back home, and he went to praying, and he started believing what the Word said. The Lord gave him some faith to believe that, you know, we prayed for it, it's going to be fixed. And so the next morning he got in that truck, and he didn't have a minute's problem. He'd been cobbling around here for a week or so with that truck, trying to get it to, you know, find out what's wrong with it and how much it's going to cost and all that stuff. And in one day, God fixed it for free for him, and it's running like it's never run before. Praise God. So what had happened, it sounded like that the fork on it, the shifting fork on it, had bent. They make those things out of brass, and they'll bend sometimes when you try to jam them in gear, and that's what happened. And it sounds like. But anyway, God fixed it. He's running around here just his grin on his face all the way across his face, and praise God for that. Thank you, Lord. God's a mechanic too. He can fix anything. I'm telling you what, we got a good God. He can fix anything from a Volkswagen to a spaceship. That's our God. Amen. All right, anybody else got anything they'd like to share? Testimony, praise report, or just a word from the Lord? Something so heavy on your heart? Michael, you got anything you'd like to share tonight?
Are you talking to me?
Yes, sir.
Okay, just a second here. I've got to get my phone straightened out.
Okay.
You know, there's been a couple of scriptures that have been on my heart. I think we get very familiar with, you know, when you're listening to lots of teaching, this is a time when you can listen to anything you want. You can listen to any man of God in the country and listen to messages and read books. And I've got a library full of all the hot books from the old timers, you know. And I begin to realize that scripture, when he says, "And be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man which beholds his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, goes his way, straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looks into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds." And he's talking about, that's in James 1. It says also in a couple other places, same thing. Another place in, I think it's Galatians 1, where he says, "If a man think himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then will he have rejoicing in himself and not in another." And but when he says doers, not hearers, deceiving yourself, and the deception, mentioned this before, but I'm looking at it in the mirror more these days, to know about so many things. You know, we know about fasting. You know, we've heard it from everybody. We've got books on it. We've read about it. But are we walking in it? We know about, you know, memorizing the word and being really students of the word. But do we get slack in that and just be talkers about it? We can get to a place where we're so familiar with the eternal principles and the things that we know about and the things we talk about. We hear about it every day. We go to meetings where people are preaching it. You can turn on a message and you hear people talking. Before long, without knowing it, because you're so familiar with it in your mind, then you just automatically think, "That's my experience." And that's the deception, is knowing about all the right things, hearing about them, talking about them, being around people that talk about them, fellowshipping around it, to the point where it's just assumed that that's me, that's my experience, when all along it's really not. We're just hearers and not doers. And I've been challenged myself in that. But when it says, "But if a man thinks himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. Let every man prove his own works." So there's a deception in that also, in thinking you're something that you're really not. And, you know, it says in the scripture, "To him that has, to him shall be given more, and he will have abundance. But from him that has not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have." And the familiarity again of, you know, they said about Jesus, he said, "But Lord, we ate in your company, we walked with you," you know, when they said, that's one of the excuses that people are going to make, "But Lord, we ate in your company, we were with you, we walked with you, we did." But it wasn't their experience. And the Lord says in the seventh chapter of Matthew, I think it is, when he says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. For many in that day will say, 'But Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? In your name we cast out devils, in your name we did many wonderful works.' And then I will profess unto them, 'Depart from me, you that work iniquity, I know you not.'" And then he says, "He therefore that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I'll liken him to a wise man, which dig deep," it says in Luke, "and built his foundation on a rock." And we all know this story. "But he that hears and does not is like the foolish man without a foundation." The bottom line, the doers and the hearers are going to be shaken down, and it's only the doers that are going to stand. And I think with all of, you know, it says, Paul says in the scripture, "Examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith." And that continual soul searching that says, "Am I having a form of godliness and denying the power thereof, or am I a doer that's walking in the things that I profess to believe? And I know in my own heart right now, I'm finding that I've got a certain amount of unreality, and I'm familiar with it. I could talk about it. I know the verses on it or whatever, you know, but to come to a place where it's absolutely where you're walking, that we're walking, we don't lose that carefulness that we once walked. You know, he said to the Ephesian church, repent and do your first works. You know, you lost your first love. Repent and do your first works. Or else I'm going to come and remove your candlestick out of its place. And it's a time for us to be very, very honest with our own hearts and honest with God. And I've been around people lately that are very interested in being something and being known and to be seen and to be heard and well-known people. But, you know, we really need to come to that place. I just remind you of the verses that you're very familiar with, but the ones that say, let another praise you, but never your own lips. Find a man wise in his own conceit. There's more hope for a fool than for that man. Every man will proclaim his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. And then he says in there, I have no man like-mindedly who will care for your state, for all seek your own and not the things of the Lord Jesus. And it's really becoming a rare and rare commodity to find people that are walking before God, that truly don't care about the praise of men. Jesus not only didn't seek it, he wouldn't receive the honor from men. But in this generation, he said of the Pharisees, it's easy for us, just like the children of Israel, go, well, it's not his. I can't believe they did that. I can't believe they did that. Or they wandered around in circles, or they didn't believe, or they did. And yet we're faced with the same things. In 1 Corinthians 10, he says these things happen to them and are written for our examples to us and are for our admonition upon whom the ends of the earth are come, to the intent, you know, that we should not lust after evil things and all of the things that they did. I won't go through that scripture, but the same thing happened. Those Pharisees, those knotheads, I can't believe it, you know. But he said, you are they that seek the honor of men and not the honor that comes from God only. And he says, and moreover, when you pray, you know, when you do your alms, don't be as the hypocrites who sound a trumpet before them. They do to be seen of men. Barely, I say, they have their reward. And when you pray, don't be like the Pharisees who like to pray standing in the corner of the synagogue or in the corners of the streets to be seen of men. But when you pray, enter into your closet and shut your door. And when you pray to your Father, pray in secret, and your Father which seeth in secret shall reward you openly. Moreover, when you fast, don't be as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But you, when you fast, wash your face, anoint your head, that you appear not unto men to fast, but unto God. And your Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And not doing what we do before men, to be seen of men. Are we at a place, every one of you, search your own heart and I search mine. When we fast, who knows about that? Is it something, I'm not saying if a corporate fast, that's different like Michael said. But if we're in a place where we're doing our fast, are we telling people, hey man, I've been fasting. I have brothers that I know and I've exhorted them. I said, brother, every time you fast, you've got to advertise it. It's not going to count for anything, you know. And we should do what we do before God. We should give without having to have a notoriety about it, to do it in secret, anonymous, whatever, but to seek the honor that comes from God only. And I just, with all of my heart in these days, I'm recognizing the deception. And it can be a different facets of our life where we're going along and suddenly we realize that we're getting slack in the areas where we used to be more disciplined, or that we're finding ourselves where we used to be more careful. Now it's, more casual. And we can't afford to do that. These are the most dangerous times in human history. The deception, as Jesus said, would be so great that were it possible, even the very elect would be deceived. There's so many spirits of deception, and the momentum of this world is going to get so intense, and it's going to become very, very hard to buy the truth and sell it not, because everything wants to take and buy it in installments. You buy it, they want to buy you in installments. It says in that scripture in Hebrews 2, when it says, let us therefore we have to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense or reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? But when it says, lest at any time we should let them slip, the word in the Greek is to leak as a dripping, to drip as a leaking vessel, just drip, drip. We can lose our vitality in God with just a drip at a time. It can be just one wrong relationship that brings, and it's kind of like a short circuit in your spiritual electrical system that just shorts and draws away from the life of God. One relationship that is, we can't afford relationships right now. Life has one purpose with darkness, to reprove it. Any other relationship with darkness is a detraction from the life of God in you. The only relationship we have with darkness is to reprove it. If we're out there just hanging out with company or even brothers that are going nowhere and are not interested in reproof and not interested in the truth, we really need to cut those things, sever those ties, because right now we don't need anything that draws the life of God away from us. There's many too many people that need have a hunger for the truth. There are many people that do, and there are many brothers and even lost people that are willing to hear the gospel preached in righteousness. And we really can't afford to dribble away the life of God. It's going to take, it says, if your eye be single, your whole body will be filled with light. But if your eye be evil, your whole body will be filled with darkness. If therefore the light that is in you be darkness, how great is that darkness? You know, it takes a single eye, and this is a very hard thing in this hour. I'm recognizing the momentum is stronger. Michael Boldea made a statement, he said recently, you know, the momentum that I used to be making ground with the same amount of effort that now I can't even hold what I have. It's taking more and more effort. The currents are very strong. I'm a great swimmer, and when I swim, I can swim against very strong currents. But, you know, you recognize very quickly the currents when they're strong. You can't just kind of drift. You'll drift right on down the river. You've got to fight the currents, and the currents of this world right now are very, very strong, and I'm recognizing the momentum is stronger and stronger and stronger. And right now it's time to take inventory of our spiritual hearts and recognize whether we are truly doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving ourselves, and finding comfort in being familiar with all the right spiritual principles. I hear people all the time, I've mentioned this before, but I hear people all the time lately speaking so much about the remnant. We're the remnant. Well, you cannot speak about the remnant, because the remnant is what's left over when the smoke clears. It's the last thing that's left on the roll of material when everything else is gone. And for us to be, we can't call ourselves the remnant. We better call ourselves the people that are pursuing God's heart and hope to be those that endure until the end, because we're going to be doers and not hearers of the word. But I encourage you to look at your relationships. It may be just a little TV, a little of the listening to the secular radio, or listen to Sean Hannity half the time, or listen to some of these fellows that are out there. They just can be these little foxes that spoil the vine. And I'm seeing them in my own life, little things, and I'm feeling the Lord saying, "You tighten it up, and you're getting slack." It's just ice cream every day. If you have one a week, maybe that's okay. If you have it every day, you're going to start seeing pounds on your hindquarters. It's the same thing with our spiritual life. We can't afford to just get slack with the things of God. And it's a time right now to really examine ourselves, whether we be in the faith, and to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip or drip away. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? And then you look at the word, and you're all familiar with it, but at the end of the faith chapter, he says, therefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sit down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such a great contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye should be wearied and faint in your minds, for ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And I know that when I go on a hike in the wilderness and I go to, I'm very careful about what I put in my pack anymore. You know, I go, well, I could probably find water up there. Probably won't run into a bear. I don't know if I really want to have a pistol. I really try to guard the weight when I'm going on a long pack, because when you get out there about 8 miles or 5 miles, you start recognizing every ounce and every pound. You start recognizing. And we're not in a 100-yard dash. This is a marathon. And even the people that run the marathon, they have not their water on them. They get it on the way. And it's time to cast off everything. You know, I was looking today in Acts. I was reading this story when Paul was in the ship, you know, going headed for Rome. And they came into a tempestuous sea, very tempestuous sea. And the first thing they had to do, as it got worse and worse, they began to lighten the ship. They began to throw off this and throw off that. And it got to the point where they threw off the tackling of the ship. And before long, they threw off their food. It was survival mode. And I believe we're at a time, we're coming to a very stormy time, and I believe it's time for all of us to lighten our ships, to find out what it is that in our lives right now that's keeping us, where our eyes are divided and not single, where our hearts are drawn aside to one thing or another, where we're where we have extra weight in our pack, you know, weights of this world, and to really examine ourselves. And as he said in that scripture that I just shared there, let us, seeing we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And in this hour, this darkness that's covering the earth, and this gross darkness, and it's upon the religious people, it's upon the professing believers, it's upon the world, it's every, and it's just the beginning of sorrows. We're at a time when we haven't even begun to see the full fury of the storm. We're just hearing the sickening mutterings of thunder before a great storm, but we're not really seeing the storm yet. But when it comes, it says in the scripture, and remember this, everything that can be shaken will be shaken. He said, I'm shaking not the earth only, but the heavens, and everything that can be shaken will be shaken. And everything in our lives that can be shaken, everything that's not founded on Christ, everything that's theory, that's theology, and not reality in our experience, is going to be shaken away. So I just encourage you, brothers and sisters, as I'm searching my own heart right now, this is the time to be doers and not hearers only, deceiving ourselves.
Amen. Truer words never spoken. And that's what, and that, you know, actually, that's what God has been telling us all. You've got to bear fruit. If you don't bear fruit, you're not gonna make it. Amen. Anybody got any comments they'd like to make? Anything they'd like to add? Well, that kind of goes along with. Go ahead, Chad. You want to say something, Chad?
Well, okay, I guess I'll take that as my cue from the Lord there. Yeah, I really appreciate what Brother Michael shared. That's exactly what the Lord's been dealing with my heart about, is, you know, get really real with the Lord. What's reality and what's just theory, you know? And the Lord's been good to do that. I've just been really praying, Lord, shine your light on everything in my heart that's not of you. And, of course, he's merciful to do it one thing at a time. But, you know, I was just thinking of, I think you might have mentioned this just a little bit earlier on the call, about, you know, facing giants in our land and taking them on one at a time and driving them out completely. And the Lord brought that to my remembrance that, yeah, this needs to be done now. You know, anything that I'm seeing that's not of the Lord, I need to take that on one at a time, and I need to chase it. I need to cut it down till it's, you know, nothing, and not give any place for it, not give it any slack at all right now. So I just praise the Lord for his goodness, and just I'm praying for myself and each one of my brothers and sisters that we, you know, that we be seeking the Lord wholeheartedly, that there be no holding back whatsoever. And as Brother Michael Montana shared before, that there's a grace in this hour. If we do that, the Lord will give his grace for us to do that, and I can testify that, and I'm very thankful for that. So I just pray we keep running after him wholeheartedly and not back off in any way now, and he'll give us the grace and the strength we need go against the current of the world. I was actually just thinking of that today, a little earlier. On you know, Lord had me go out and do a little bit of praying and walking, and He just caused me to recognize that the current is very strong, the current of the world, and it's strengthening. And it's only His grace that's going to enable us to stand. No strength of man is going to, you know, be. It's like person jumping into a strong river with a mighty current, be sucked under immediately. There'd be no chance of standing against that, you know, in our own strength. And that's exactly what I can bear witness to that is happening out there. So, but God's grace is sufficient, and He'll be strong where we're weak. And I just pray He help me to realize where I need to be weak, you know, and let Him be strong. And that's, of course, anything that's of self. So, I just appreciate that word, and I praise the Lord for His grace and mercy. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yep, we got to get into that deeper relationship with the Lord and allow Him to clean us all up and get ready for this thing. Praise God. All right, anybody else? You know, what Michael was talking about, it's true, and I'd like to come at it from another angle, if I could. I'd like to turn over to Luke, to the parable of the sower. So to Matthew, let's go to Luke chapter 8. And when a great multitude came together, and they of every city resorted unto Him, He spake by a parable. The sower went forth to sow his seed. As he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden underfoot. And the birds of the heaven devoured it, and others fell on the rock. And as soon as it grew, it withered away, because it had no moisture. And other fell amidst the thorns, and the thorns grew with it, and choked it. And other fell into the good ground, and grew, and brought forth fruit a hundredfold. As he said these things, he cried, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And his disciples asked him what this parable might be. And he said, Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. And those by the wayside are they that have heard. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word from their heart, that they may not believe and be saved. And those on the rock are they who, when they have heard, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, who for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among the thorns, these are they that have heard, and as they go on their way, they are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. So, what he's talking about here is bringing that fruit in our lives to perfection, the Word of God alive to perfection. Even though they were receiving the seed, most of them didn't bring the fruit to perfection. And 15 says, And that in the good ground, these are such as in an honest and good heart, having heard the Word, hold it fast, and bring forth fruit with patience. They bring forth fruit unto perfection, glory to God. That's our hope. That's the Lord Himself will manifest His fruit in us. It's that seed of the Word that brings forth the fruit unto perfection. It ain't nothing that we do. It's the seed. That's the Word of God in us that has the power. And one of the points is that we have to hold it fast. We got to hold on to it. And we see that the seed is being sown in the heart. And that seed is what? That's the Word of God. And if the heart holds it fast, it's going to bring forth that fruit unto perfection. And verse 12 says, And those by the wayside are they that have heard, then cometh the devil and taketh it away, the word from their heart, that they may not be believed and be saved. And right there, the word's not held fast. They didn't hold on to it, so that it'll bear fruit. It had a miscarrying womb. And what's the womb? That's the heart. That brings forth the fruit, just like the womb of a woman has to hold fast that seed in order for that seed to come to birth. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 9 says, whosoever is begotten, and that word begotten there is the same word for born, of God doeth no sin, because his seed abideth in him. In other words, it stays. It's being held fast. It abideth in him. He can't sin. He can't sin because he's born of God. So when that seed abides, it comes to birth. It can bring the fruit to perfection. And we know, since that seed is the Word of God, and Jesus is the Word of God, that the fruit that is born in us is what? That is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And that's Christ manifested in his people, right? We know we're all perfected at the cross, and that Christ gave his life for ours. Now, we don't live anymore, do we? Christ lives in us by faith. But as we hold fast the promises in the midst of those trials and those tribulations of riches and temptation, television games and football games, but as we hold on to the Word, that Word is going to bear fruit. And a lot of times in the trial, our mind wants to revert back to the things of the world. We want to go back to, that flesh wants to come back down off the cross, don't it? Our mind wants to walk by sight instead of by faith. But in the trial, we have that opportunity to hold fast to the Word and not to turn it loose, so that it could bear the fruit, the same fruit of Jesus Christ in us, the same faith, the same miraculous power, that same sanctifying power that was manifested through his saints. And when we're in those trials, a lot of times, most of the times I say, we're tempted to go back to our old thinking. But what we've got to do is to hold fast to the Word and cast down everything else around us. Put on that armor of God. 2 Corinthians 10 and 5 says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that is exalted against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And that's the whole point. We got to hold fast to the Word and cast down everything else, don't we? We got to cast down the seed of the devil. That's his word. Cast it down and cast it out of our mind. We only want that one seed that can bring forth the fruit of Christ. And that's the only seed that we want to accept. And we have to hold fast to it, because that devil is seeking to slide it out your hand and out of your heart. He desperately has to do that, or we're going to bear fruit and it's going to be too late for him. We got to hold fast, folks. And when you're in the fire trial and you know what that promise is, remember, that promise is the seed that you have to hold to in order to bear the fruit. We don't want to have that miscarrying wound, that spiritually miscarrying wound, do we? What Jesus said. He said, the words that I have spoken unto you are spirit and are life. And any other word besides the Word of God is also spirit, and it's life. But it ain't the spirit and the life of Christ. We don't want that other life. We don't want to have strange children that the prophet spoke about in Hosea chapter 5. He said, they have born strange children. They have to look like the father. And if you have a child which looks strangely different from the father, you want to, well, whose seed is that? Wasn't the seed of the father. That's the same thing we're doing here now. We read the Word in order to become familiar with who the Father is. Jesus said, he that has seen me has seen the Father, in John 14. In other words, he himself manifested his father. He was a seed which was in line with his father. And we got to be also that seed too. The fruit in us has to also be a seed that's in line with the Father, with our Father, the Lord God Almighty. And there's a pretty good example over in Leviticus chapter 19. Starting out in verse 19, it says, you shall keep my statutes. Thou shalt not let thy cattle gender with a diverse kind. thou shalt not sow thy field with two kinds of seed. In other words, each seed brings forth after its own kind. You don't want a mixture there. What the Father's looking for is Jesus in his, he ain't interested in anything else. He is not interested in anything else. Malcolm, I'm going to have to mute you, bud. All right. Well, I thought I did. Okay. So we can't have two kinds of seeds here, can we? He ain't interested. God ain't interested in nothing else but Jesus. He wants Christ. John chapter 3 says, no one hath ascended into heaven but he that descended out of heaven. The Lord wants Jesus. So he still don't want two kinds of seed in our field, because that's going to be a mixture. It ain't going to be the fruit of Christ. Any mixture waters down and takes away from the fruit of Christ. We don't want that. We got to get our eyes focused on the Lord, walk toward him, run toward him, and keep it going. Hold fast, he says, hold fast. And then back to Leviticus 19:19, neither shall there come upon thee a garment of two kinds of stuff mingled together. Now that's a good example of putting on Christ and putting on something else. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof, Romans 13:14 says. And the problem is making sure that the seed is the true seed of the Father. And that's the Word of God. Making sure that we hold fast to that seed, and making sure that we don't have a spiritually miscarrying womb. Leviticus 15 speaks about that in another verse, in verse 19. And if a woman have an issue in her flesh be blood, and that doesn't say in her body, it purposely says in her flesh. You see that? She shall be in her impurity 7 days, and whosoever touches her shall be unclean until the evening. And that's a parable. And therefore it's a type and a shadow. There's nothing unclean about the natural thing that this is speaking about, but the spiritual revelation here, that's what's unclean. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11 says, now these things happened unto them by way of example, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages are coming, are come. So, let me mute you, Gabe. So what we got here is something concerning a miscarrying womb because of the issue of blood. Where what's in the blood represents our nature, because it says in Leviticus 17, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. The life, that's the nature, the soul. The soul is sometimes translated in the New Testament as nature. And it's been passed on to a person through the blood of their parents. That's the nature of the old man. Is that? That's our enemy. It's the whole problem we're fighting against. It's struggling with us, and there's a war going on. But the blood of Jesus represents his life, his nature, his soul. And bearing fruit is to bear the fruit of the spirit and soul of Christ in us. That's what the word manifesting itself in us is all about. And we see there that if a woman has an issue of blood in her flesh, this is impurity. Why? Because the blood of the old life washes away the seed. And the seed doesn't bear fruit. The woman is not fertile. In fact, it says here that she will be impure for 7 days. She's not going to be fertile until the eighth day. The eighth day is a new beginning. And so in a spiritual way, the verse is not talking about natural woman. The women spoken of refers to sex and divisions of God's people, as scriptures speaks about them. And David brings that out real well. In Isaiah chapter 4 and verse 1, it says, and seven women shall take hold of one man in that day, saying, we will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel. Only let us be called by thy name. Those women were the seven churches. And women can also be local churches. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 5 said, holding a form of godliness, but having denied the power thereof, from these also turn away. For of these are they that creep into houses and take captive silly women laden with sin, led away by diverse lusts, ever learning, like Michael was talking about, and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. So they're studying, and they're studying, and they're reading, and they're watching. They're receiving seed, they're receiving seed, they're receiving seed, but they're never coming to the knowledge of the truth. And it happens all the time. Silly women, that's what the scripture calls them. And that's the sex of God's people who don't grow up in Him, that are led captive by these men. Leviticus 15 and 19 again. She shall be in her impurity 7 days. Matthew 15 and 6. You have made void or of no effect the word of God because of your tradition. And you can see that the blood of the woman represents her carnal nature. And that's how she rejects the seed of Christ. That's the word of God. The seed that's to bring forth the life and the nature and the fruit of the husband. And the Jews were doing just that. They were like a ministrating woman who was not going to bring forth fruit because her old nature had determined that they were going to walk after their traditions. Those things that were pleasing to their natural life and to their flesh. So when the word of God, and it's always crucifying to the old man, they reject it, don't they? It gets washed away by their own old fleshly nature. And Jesus rebuked them and he told them, not that which entereth into the mouth defileth the man, but that which proceedeth out of the man, out of the mouth, this defileth the man. Their thinking was coming out their mouth. And that's what was defiling them. Because they were rejecting true word of God. They were making of no effect the word of God by their tradition, making the seed ineffectual or bringing forth any fruit. Any fruit. And if any man lie with her and her impurity be upon him, he shall be unclean 7 days. Well, we know who it is who lieth with these women. It's those who are supposed to be sowing the seed of the Lord. Paul said, for though you have 10,000 tutors in Christ, yet have you not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I begat you through the gospel. 1 Corinthians 4 and 15. In other words, Paul sowed the seed of the Lord God, and it brought forth the fruit of Jesus in those early disciples and so on. But we see here that those who lie with the woman, who was not willing to give up her old life to give fertile ground to the seed, then that man's unclean too. 2 Timothy 3 and 6 says, for of these are they that creep into houses and take captive silly women laden with sins, led away by diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And it's also in Luke chapter 8 and verse 10, because Jesus said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. And Luke, Jesus wasn't going to sow that seed in that infertile ground. He wasn't going to give the true word of God to those people who had no respect for it, who would just wash it away like throwing pearls before swine. That's the same way it is today, isn't it? The true word of God not going to be received by most of the apostate Christians, and a person, it wastes their time trying to give it to them. Michael was talking about that earlier. Those apostate Christians are going to disrespect God's word, and they're going to cast it to the ground. And so the woman with an issue is going to stay in her impurity, and the man who sows seed in her is going to stay in his impurity 7 days. Now, these people have that unscriptural idea that they're going to escape. They're going to be zapped out of here in a flyaway rapture and miss the 7 days of tribulation. They ain't going to do that. Leviticus 15:28 says, but if she be cleansed of her issue, then she shall number to herself 7 days. And after that, she shall be clean. Y'all get that? We're coming to the time when people need to be cleansed, what we've been talking about tonight, so that at the end of the 7 days, they're going to be ready to meet the Lord. We want to be ready before we get there. But it's a progress. It's a progressive thing. we hold fast to the word as we learn it. We repent of those things that when we do find out that we're wrong, we repent of it and we hold fast to that word. And then we go on. We stay on the narrow, don't we? Amen. Praise God. Lord is taking us to this deeper Christian walk with Him. Praise God. Praise the Lord. In Isaiah 32:9, it says, "Rise up, ye women that are at ease, and hear my voice, ye careless daughters. Give ear unto my speech, for days beyond the years shall ye be troubled, ye careless women. For the vintage shall fail, the ingathering shall not come." That's the rapture. That there are every one of them expecting to be at the beginning of 7 days. Ain't going to come until the end of the 7 days. Why? Because they're defiled. The vintage didn't bear fruit. Verse 11 says, "Tremble, ye women that are at ease. Be troubled, ye careless ones. Strip you and make you bare." In other words, take off those mixed garments and gird sackcloth upon your loins. And when does he say they're going to bear the fruit? "Until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness become a fruitful field, and the fruitful field be esteemed as a forest." That's the tribulation in Revelation chapters 12 and 17. And those women that are defiled, that's the first one, Revelation 14, were not defiled with them. They got to go through the great tribulation in order to be purified. And God's plan is going to be fulfilled. And for those of you who are walking undefiled, that's great, man, and praise be to God. When we come to respect God's word over and above our own thinking and the traditions of men that we are so used to, that's what it's going to take. It's got to be that pure word of God. Jesus said, "You are from beneath, and I am from above. Ye are of this world. I am not of this world." We can't have that two-seed mixture in our field, can we? There can only be one seed that brings forth the fruit of Jesus Christ. You've got to remember that parable of the wheat and tares. That word there for seed is the word sperma, letting us know this and not just talking about plants here. That word sperma is what's going to bring forth this wheat. That's the fruit. And when a person sows that good seed in their field, the Lord's sperma is there. "Who sowed those tares among the wheat?" Jesus asked. And they said, "An enemy had done this." Two seeds sown in the same field ain't supposed to be. And that field he's talking about is the kingdom of God on this earth right now. But in our life, it's up to us, every one of us, to make sure we cast down the bad seed. What is that? That's imagination and every high thing that is exalted against the knowledge of God. Receive only and hold fast to the good seed, because the good seed is going to bring forth the birth. It's going to bring forth the fruit. It's going to bring forth and manifest God in us. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. And that's where God has us now. He's got us all wanting to walk, wanting all of us to get into that word, to get all of that tear, get all the tears out of us, get our hearts clean before Him. And if you're clean, you know you're clean. As far as you know, then you're righteous in God's eyes. And we do it all by faith, don't we? We just believe what the word says and walk straight on with it. You're bearing fruit when you're walking like Christ, when you're manifesting Christ in your life. If you want to know what Christ was like, go into Matthew chapter 5 through chapter 7 and read those. It'll tell you. Praise God. Okay. All right. Anybody got anything they'd like to add or share?
Michael, one comment.
Yes, sir.
That is, you know, it's interesting you're talking about pure seed. And it's a time when the natural seed is all being genetically modified, and it's very hard to even find, you know, what they call heirloom seeds that can reproduce after their own kind, you know. And people try to save heirloom seeds because the new seeds are, you know, Monsanto and everything else. And the same thing, I think, first the natural and then the spiritual. The seed of the word has been polluted and mixed. It's been genetically modified with other spirits. And I think that much of what's going forth right now not only cannot bring forth after its kind, but is very unhealthy for the spiritual man.
Amen. I agree with you wholeheartedly. Praise God. But, you know, when you get in the Word for yourself, and you study the Word for yourself, and you ask the Lord to reveal those things to you, He will. You get an anointed man of Christ that the Lord has shown these truths to. Study the Word. Study the Word. Study their studies by studying with the Word and making sure that what that man is saying is true. It holds fast to the Word of God. And that way you won't be getting that tare in there. You won't be getting that other seed, as they talk about. Most of these apostate preachers will take and twist that Word of God to fit their doctrines and traditions of men to bring people into their way of thinking so that they can sin wholesale and believe that they're going to be raptured and zapped out of here before all this stuff happens. So we have to be very careful about who we listen to. We have to be very careful. We have to know the Word of God. We have to get in the Word of God and learn what the Word of God says and how Jesus walked in this earth. Praise God. Praise God for men like David Ills and many others out there. There's still a few others out there. Milton Green was one. He was a good teacher of the Word. What he knew at the time, back in the 80s, he was good at. He brought in a lot of truth. A lot of those old time, I know Michael studies a lot of the old ones, and I have here recently since he put them on to me. They have the same revelations that we're getting today through what the Lord has shown David. Andrew Murray is one of them. You go back to Jacob Bean, and another one was Joseph Salmon. Just a lot of those old, they called them Christian mystics. I just called them men of God that love the Word of God.
Yeah, there was another thing that might be very edifying. There was a brother that used to preach at Azusa Street. His name was Stanley Frodsham.
Yep.
And he had a prophecy in 1965 about the deception that would come to the church in the latter days. I encourage everybody, if you haven't read that, read Stanley Frodsham's 1965 prophecy and get the one that has a picture of him on it. That's a full, some of them are condensed, but the one that has his picture on it, you look at the guy and you go, there's a man of God, no doubt about it. And he's got just a sober fear of the Lord look on his face that makes men want to straighten up and walk straight. But that man's prophecy about these days, just before he died, that brother was a mighty man of God, and that prophecy is one that I believe everybody ought to keep in their back burner.
Amen. I agree with you, Michael. It's on the site. That full prophecy is on the site, if anybody is interested. I believe it's under prophecies and revelations. Praise God.
What's the title of it?
Prophecy of Stanley Frodsham.
How do you spell it?
His name is Stanley Frodsham, and he talks about the coming deception.
Can you spell his last name?
Frodsham.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Yeah, Stanley Frodsham, 1965 prophecy. It's five pages long, the full one.
If you're going to look for it on the website, it's called A Solemn Prophetic Warning.
That's right. That's a good one, yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. Praise God. Yeah, I knew it was on here. I thought it was. Is that under Prophecies and Revelations, Chad?
Yes, I believe so.
Okay. Yep, that's a good one.
I think it's prophecies, dreams, and visions, actually. I think it's teachings and revelations is one link, and then I think it's prophecies, dreams, and visions. I think it's that one.
Oh, okay. Praise God. A. Allen had a end-time prophecy back in the 60s, I believe it was. As did George Washington had one, too. I think all three of them are on the site, along with a bunch of more. Praise God. All right, anybody got anything else they'd like to share or pray about?
Michael?
Hey, Judy.
Yeah, this is, would you pray for my right shoulder? I think Satan's just coming after me like mad here, but I would appreciate a prayer for my right shoulder.
Okay, we're all going to agree, too, that Judy's shoulder is healed. We command that pain to leave her shoulder. In Jesus' name, we command arthritis to go out of her body right now in the name of Jesus. You can't stay around. You can't hang around. You got to go in the name of Jesus. I command the pain to leave her body from all points of her body in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, that Judy is completely healed and she don't have to put up with this nonsense anymore in Jesus' name.
Thank
and we
you,
thank
Father.
You for it. Praise you, Lord.
Yes, praise you, Father. Thank you. Thank you. I know I'm healed. Thank you.
Amen. All right, anybody else? Nobody got nothing they'd like to? Just a little bit. Malcolm over there working. Praise the Lord. Well, it's been another good evening. Some revelations we heard tonight and a little bit of teaching there from Michael. That was good. Thank you, Michael. God bless everybody. It's we're in some wonderful times ahead, coming ahead for God's people, for believers, true believers. It's going to be some terrible times for unbelievers. So we just pray for our loved ones. We know that God's going to take care of them. He's going to get them into the kingdom. Don't know how they're going to end up. Doesn't make any difference as long as they're in the kingdom, does it? That's all we pray about. We keep believing, and we know that when we get up there, we'll see them. Thank you, Lord. Well, Father, we just pray for all our loved ones and their families, Lord, that we've been praying for all these many years. And we're holding fast to those prayers, Lord, and we're thanking you, Lord, that you already are working in their lives to bring them to salvation that'll hold, Lord, and we thank you for that. You know, we've all seen miracles in people's lives where they've didn't look like there was a chance, Lord, that they were going to come to you, but you just flipped the switch. And they finally cried out to you, Lord, and we saw miracles. Father, we just thank you that you're going to do that in everyone else that we've been praying for too, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Our family and friends that we've been praying for, Lord, we just know that you're going to honor our prayers. We put all of our faith together for those family members and friends we've been praying for, and we're believing, Lord, that you're going to bring salvation to every one of them. We're going to meet them in heaven when we get there. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. All right, anybody got anything else they'd like to pray about before we get out of here? What time is it? Yeah, let's see here. Oh. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for this fellowship tonight. I ask, Lord, that you anoint each one of us, Lord, to hunger for the word, Lord, and to go and seek out your word every day and get new manna every day, Lord, because the manna we got yesterday, it's already rotted out, Lord. And we go and we get that new manna every day, Lord, and we thank you that we're going to do that, Lord. We ask and we pray, Lord, that you place in us a deeper want to walk deeper with you, Lord, to walk closer to you, Father. Draw us close to you, Lord, so that we can even hear you breathing, Lord. We praise you for that. We thank you, Lord, for the work you've done in each one of us. and the continuing work that you're doing in each one of us, Lord, to bear that fruit of Jesus Christ in our life. And we praise you for it. Bless our day tonight, our night tonight, Lord, with good sleep or our good day, depending on where we are. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Good night, everybody. God bless.